You're listening to Like a Real Boss podcast, where we go beyond the title and unravel the complexities of being a boss. If you're a head honcho, top dog, or queen bee, this is for you. Get insight from experienced leaders and passionate workers. This is your wake-up call. Ready and bossified. Now, your host and the real-life boss, Tiana Sanchez.
Welcome and thank you for joining another episode of Like a Real Boss. I'm your host, Tiana Sanchez, and I'm so excited that you're tuning in, listening to us today. You know, I'm not sure if you have ever listened to our podcast before, but we so appreciate you tuning in. Maybe you've listened to us through iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud. We just so appreciate. Make sure you drop us a comment. Let us know what you think about the show. Is there a topic that we need to be covering on this show? Well, we want to hear about it. So this is the place where you get tips, tricks, trends, tools, where we talk about the stuff so you can be a better boss podcast. And I'm excited to have my special guest here with me today. You know, we had an opportunity to talk about this particular topic, and it is quite provocative, especially with what's going on in our world today. So I have the distinct privilege of introducing my special guest, Thomas Slaughter. Welcome, Thomas, to the show.
Well, thank you, Tiana. I really appreciate you for having me on. It's just, it's really exciting to have an opportunity to come down here, have a conversation with you about some of these topics about unethical leadership. The reason this is so near and dear to me and why I'm highly concerned, because as a consultant, as well as an entrepreneur, I've seen it so many times out there, right, and it's just becoming very disappointing, but it's actually becoming a better situation now because it's coming to light. So have an opportunity to talk about it, my personal experiences, and the experiences I've seen of others or heard of others, is just, this right now is the right time to have this conversation.
Absolutely. And if you're tuning in again, listening to us, we're talking about today unethical leadership practices. So you heard us correctly. We're going to dive in deep. We're going to be no holds barred, because here, we want to be truthful. We want to be raw. Absolutely. So, you know, I want everybody, Thomas, to get to know who you are and tell everybody why you are the expert to talk about this. You know, you've had some work in corporate America.
Yes.
So, you know, give us a little background about your history and work experience. Absolutely.
So for my background and work experience, I started out in a warehouse of a corporation and worked my way up. Through that, I got an opportunity to see a lot of different things at the lower employee level, all the way up to the middle management level, all the way to upper management level. And from that point, I ventured out and I worked with different organizations. So I went from a corporation to small business. Then from there, I transitioned to a large enterprise. So I've had the unique opportunity to see toxic leadership. I've had a unique opportunity to see unethical behavior. And on top of all of that, I've actually been trained at the Drucker School of Management, Peter Drucker, of course, Claremont Graduate University, and I've actually had the formal training to be able to identify these things and how to address it the appropriate and improper way.
Because there are inappropriate and improper ways to address them.
It is.
So, you know, the elephant in the room, you know, we talk about this topic, unethical leadership practices, because quite honestly, you know, we've been seeing a lot in our news and in our society. I mean, every day I'm seeing another new name. I'm seeing things that are coming out with what's happening in a variety of industries. And so I think it's very timely that we get to talk about this. And so why is this topic in our society today so important that we cover it? Why you and why this topic?
The time is now. The thing is, it's been going on for so long. It's been buried and hidden for so long. And I'm even a perpetrator to some extent of that, because I saw it with my own eyes and I turned my back. And I'm seeing it today more and more than I saw in the past, to be honest. But the reason I'm seeing it today, because we're more cognitive. We're starting to see it. And we're starting to be more aware, and we're starting to be educated on it.
Right. When you talk about, I want to be more aware, you know, you said you may have seen some things or may not have, you know, stepped up. Here's what I think is going to be helpful for people in our audience to know.
Yes.
What are those things that we can see? How can we identify unethical behavior? Because there's a part, there's a couple of parts. When we see it, what does it look like? And then what do we do? So let's kind of back up and talk about what does, in the general sense of unethical leadership behaviors, yes, what does that look like? Give us some kind of red flags that we can keep our eyes out for.
Okay, excellent. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever did something in your life that you got a funny feeling and saying, this doesn't seem right?
Yes.
That's the first red flag. That is the very first red flag.
So that intuition, that gut.
Absolutely. Another thing that I see a lot of times, what it looks like, it feels like, you see something that's happening and it's all over the news now, but it's been happening forever, is sexual misconduct. Mm. That's a very, I've been seeing that ever since I can remember. And when I mean sexual misconduct, it could be invited, it could be uninvited. I've seen more of it invited than uninvited. And that sets the expectation, or that actually sets the culture, that it's okay. And that's culture you don't want to be a part, because if there's a relationship there and that relationship goes sideways, then it's going to cause problems for the company. And I would say any sexual manner, anything in that nature should not be in a work environment. It's unethical. The other thing I could definitely say is nepotism. Nepotism is such a huge thing in the corporate world, small businesses, and business just alike, even organizations you thought that shouldn't be happening. And what do I mean by nepotism? Well, nepotism is when somebody is given a position that it doesn't warrant. They don't have the merits. They get that position. And I could give you tons of examples, and I'll give you an excellent example. I saw an individual that, son-in-law, had no education, had no college background. I'm not going to say he doesn't have education, but didn't have formal education. To fulfill that position, you needed a bachelor's degree. Mm. I know myself, I've applied for the position, and that was a requirement for me to get the position, was to have a bachelor's degree. Right. However, because of the form of nepotism, they allowed somebody else to fulfill that position, mm-hmm. who didn't have a bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. And for me, I felt a little kind of, funny about it, but I had moved on, I promoted. But think about the person that's under them who got overstepped. Mm-hmm. Think about the person that they got bypassed because of that. So again, to kind of circle back around, is when you're looking at things like nepotism, you're seeing sexual inappropriateness, those are the two hot things I typically see in a work environment, and it could cause a lot of heartache for a corporation.
Absolutely, because we work with people all day long, and sometimes we see certain things. So what I heard you say is the first thing is there's usually this kind of gut intuitive feeling, yes. that one gets. It's like, ooh, this don't feel right. Right? This does not feel right in my gut. That is a telltale sign. But then now let me validate that feeling.
Correct.
What else am I observing? Because sometimes, it could just be a feeling, and maybe we need to back that up with something.
Sure.
So what have I witnessed that maybe confirms this feeling that I've had? So you said that there are sometimes uninvited and invited advances.
Yes.
Talk to me about, because I wasn't sure what the invited advances might be. Give me an example of what that looks like.
Well, an invited advance will definitely be the kind of old high school flirtation. That's probably the best way I could put it and summarize it. They have a young guy, young girl, or maybe older guy, young older girl, whoever it may be, but their behavior is unbecoming of a professional environment. And what I mean by that, it could be petting, it could be kissing. You can see maybe in a stairwell. Stairwells for corporations are notorious for inappropriate behavior.
Where have I been working? I have never known this information. You're telling it all now, Thomas.
Yeah, I'm giving a little bit there. I'm giving a little bit. But that is, like I said, when you say invited, it's just they hold on to a relationship. And even though that relationship, it's a consensual relationship. One thing is it been reported to the right management? Because something that's really important is if that employee is reporting to somebody they're having a personal relationship with, then that's a huge red flag.
Gotcha.
That should not be happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because if for whatever reason that relationship decides to go sideways or there's a breakup and it's a bad breakup, then that's going to open your organization up for a lawsuit.
Right. And lawsuits cost money.
Absolutely.
So when we talk about, again, unethical leadership practices or behaviors, we're going to talk about it kind of, again, as a whole, but we want to bring it down. We want to get real specific. We're
yes.
looking at some of the, how to identify, like what does that look like in an organization? You mentioned nepotism as well. If anyone has ever been treated unfairly,
yes.
if you have ever had your human rights violated, if
yes.
you, like you said, someone has been promoted but lacked the competence,
correct.
And was given a free pass,
yes.
that's unethical behavior. And there's a lot of them that we can probably mention, but again, some of the more prominent ones that we've seen recently.
Yes.
But I want to share this with you because I was reading an article from the Ethics Resource Center, and they said that using power and authority to mistreat others or abuse
yes.
Is one of the most five common types of unethical behavior. So there's five common types of ethical
yes.
behavior. Mistreatment of others was one of those five. And I want to talk about how individuals and organizations use their power and authority to mistreat others. What does that look like? And again, we're going to talk about how we fix that. So what, in your experience, what have you seen?
Well, I will give you a perfect example that I had witnessed. So there was a vice president of a corporation. He had a tit-tat or had a disagreement with somebody else in a different department. Well, because of his capacity and his power, he was able to have that person's territory shifted or tried to have his territory shifted where he lost certain accounts and it was shifted to another employee. That's what that abuse of power would look like. And what that ultimately relayed to with the organization was, this guy, you better not cross him because he's going to hit you where it counts, in the pocketbook. So with that, he was able to create a dictatorship. And with the dictatorship leadership, another form of toxic leadership, he's able to control the environment the way he sees fit. And he's having people do things that they're uncomfortable with doing.
Was it reported? Did that person who was on the receiving end of that, did he report it? Did he or she report it?
Absolutely. So that person did report it, and they did go through the proper steps and protocols.
Okay, got it.
And for those out there who are kind of nervous with reporting your boss, are nervous with reporting a vice president because you value your job. We all value our job.
Absolutely.
That's how we feed our families.
Absolutely.
You have protection by law. Mm-hmm. But there are people, especially in larger corporations, those VPs don't, those actually vice presidents have to answer to somebody. And in those large organizations, you have HR staff. Mm-hmm. And the HR staff, you can report to them. And it's their job to investigate it. And if they feel that there's something, misconduct has been handled or has been come across or some type of intimidation, they'll address it. Now, it's a little differently, though, when you're dealing with small organizations. Most of us have jobs in small and medium sized businesses. Maybe there is no HR department.
Right.
And maybe in a small business, you're reporting directly to the owner. Well, they are public entities out there that you could report this to. So you have the equal opportunity folks out there in the federal level. Each state has like a fair employment type of department. Mm-hmm. Look it up. Mm-hmm. You can find out. That's somebody you can report it to. But let me ask you a question. Would you want to continue to work in a toxic environment?
Right. And that is a good question, because most people would absolutely say, no, I don't. But then the question becomes, I need a job.
Yes.
I need to work. But this brings me to my next point, Thomas, because what is the emotional impact, the mental impact of someone that's on the receiving end of unethical behavior? And so, again, you asked a very great question. Do you really want to be in this toxic environment?
Correct.
No, we don't want to, but it's like, darn it, where am I going to go? I have to work. I have a family. I have 3 children. I got to send them to school. I got to pay for all these things. What do I then do? And so it's a good question.
Yes.
So, but then again, you have to weigh it. By staying here, am I risking my sanity? By staying here, am I jeopardizing my integrity? By staying here, am I somehow compromising my values?
Yes.
So there is a mental, I believe, physical, emotional, maybe cultural impact to an individual and an organization. So do you agree with that? And share with me what you think that impact is.
I actually agree 100%. And if you sit there, people actually go on leave due to stress. It's a thing called stress leave. And the impact to the organization is that they're going to have to pay for disability. They have to pay for disability. That hits us all in the pocketbook. So it has a cultural impact as well, because we're helping foot in that bill because we have a boss who doesn't know how to behave themselves. That's what it comes down to. And when we kind of circle back around to kind of the emotional stress, what happens when your body becomes stressed?
It tanks out.
It tanks out.
Yeah.
And isn't it tied to cancer?
Absolutely.
Okay. Isn't it tied to different type of physical ailments?
Yes.
So are you going to allow yourself to remain stressed in an environment that's going to put your health at jeopardy and risk? And then when you end up getting ill, do you trust that this company is going to take care of you?
Right. It would be nice. And I would love if, again, you ask that question, what do you do? Do you want to remain in a toxic environment? That people when they spoke up and they knew how to report, that they believed wholeheartedly that as I'm reporting this, I believe that someone's going to take this report seriously. Yes. They're going to do something about it and change the culture, which is not what we've been seeing that's been happening in the organization. We haven't seen companies take the reporting seriously in some of the, especially the ones that have been more public. And doing anything about it. Only when they've been faced in that uncomfortable situation that they've either admitted it or, you know, tried to avoid it, but they haven't really taken accountability. So it would be nice to know, okay, I know when I report this, something's going to be done, and I'm going to help to change this culture. But that's not always true.
That is not always true. And I'll tell you a lot of times why it's not always true, because there's a lack of evidence. What happens is, I'm going to tell you right now, if you feel that you're being wrong in any form or fashion, one, pull your handbook. See what the policies are within your handbook. See what the reporting steps are in your handbook. A smart organization will have a hotline, a whistleblower hotline. A smart organization will have some type of ethical or code of conduct in their handbook. If they don't, if you're an employer, shame on you. You should have that. And shame on leadership for not protecting the company, because it's fiduciary responsibility to protect the company, just not its assets, but its applied human capital, which is an asset.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, what I kind of want to turn back around, when you sit there and look, when I say collect evidence, meaning you need to document these things. You got to be sure, because if you don't document these things, it becomes my word against her word. And two things in law that you definitely cannot argue is circumstances and facts. That's all law looks for. Circumstances and facts. So you need to be sure you understand the circumstances by looking at your handbook and document your facts. And when you put that down, when you file your complaint, and a lot of times it won't even get to the court when it gets to senior leadership, because they'll have the facts and they know this is a loss. Their general counsel will tell them, say, you might as well go ahead and take care of it, correct the department, get rid of who you need to get rid of, because we can't keep on continuing to do this.
Right.
Because if you got 200 complaints and each of them getting paid $75,000, no, we could do the math. That's $750,000. Who can take that blow? They're going to pay attention.
Right. So it can hit them where it hurts in a pocketbook. Yes. There is a financial cost to the organization. People's jobs are in jeopardy.
Yes.
People, the organization spend money on the legal expenses or paying people out or whatever the settlements are. So there's a financial cost. There's a mental and emotional impact, which we talked about. Again, working in a toxic environment can cause stress. Stress leads to illnesses. Illnesses leads to other more serious diseases.
Absolutely.
So we talk about, again, it's not just the financial impact, but there's an emotional and there's a physical impact as well that comes with this. But I like what you said, because we're in this show, we're all about giving our listeners practical advice. So we want to take it beyond theory, and we want to really give it some practical advice. And so what I heard you say, again, if you're in an organization and you may be experiencing this, maybe you're witnessing this, or maybe you're on the receiving end of this, here's what you can do. And Thomas said it perfectly. He says, number one, there are resources and there are things available. HR is a great place to start. If you don't have an HR, again, go online. There's equal employment opportunity. There's different information there. But also, pull the handbook. Look at the code of ethics. There may be an 800 hotline number. There are, I know sometimes, again, if it becomes worse, a stress leave, in organizations will have the EAP, Employee Assistance Program. So there are things out there. We just have to utilize those resources. And if people don't talk about them, then it's not going to be out there in the forefront. And document, document, document. That was probably one rule that I learned when I was an early manager.
Because
I started when I was 17 years old. And it was like, that was like management 101, employee 101, document everything, because date, time, who you spoke with, what happened, and you keep it because you need to have that. So if you're not doing that in general, that's just a good practice to have anyway.
Absolutely.
But that evidence is key, is what you're saying.
Oh, it's a, that's going to force the hand. If you have the evidence, you have the facts, then there's no refuting the evidence and facts. You can't refute it.
Right.
And if a company decides they want to sweep that under the rug, then that's something you need. You probably need to leave that company, and you probably need to report them to the proper authorities or whoever, you know, is responsible for looking over that.
So one of my final questions is, because I believe that some people don't do things because they don't know. We don't know what we don't know. And I want to give people the benefit of the doubt in some situations. And I know managers get promoted to positions, to leadership roles at the drop of a dime because they need to put a butt in a seat.
Yes.
They need to fill a position. And so they're not properly vetted. They don't have the experience in a management role.
Correct.
They were a sales rep. Great. Top tier.
Yes.
Right? Sales manager, though, two different roles.
Absolutely.
So now you're promoted in this position and you don't know what you don't know.
Correct.
So my question for you is, again, maybe share one or two things of what in organizations can do to help better prepare their leaders when they get in these roles,
yes.
whether it's, you know, sensitivity training or something in that area. So maybe just a couple of things that might help someone to, you know, better prepare these leaders so they know.
Well, and those are all excellent, valid points. And just kind of take a step back. I was at Cal State San Bernardino, and I was talking to the dean of the business school, mm-hmm. and something that was brought up is that why aren't colleges putting ethics training into the degree program?
Wow.
Why?
Wow.
That's something again and again corporations are asking at the university level, mm-hmm. so they already come kind of with their mindset. Now, not to say they don't exist, but as I remember graduating, I don't remember having taken an ethics course. I took organizational behavior.
Mm.
I took that,
mm-hmm.
so I knew what to do in a situation, but there was no really like code of conduct, how you should, you know, present yourself professionally in the business, things you should work and look out for, the pitfalls. None of those things were there. So to answer your question, a corporation should have ethics training. Not sexual harassment training or not harassment training, but ethics training. The reason I said that's two different things. You know, harassment training, that comes for protected classes, but people who are unethical leaders, they might not be violating those classes. And if they're violating those classes, then there's no real recourse or no real protection from the law. And just because you're not breaking the law doesn't mean you're not being unethical.
Say that again. I love that.
Okay. Just because you're breaking the law doesn't not mean that you're not being unethical.
There you go.
Right? Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Got it. And it's really important. And I had to learn that as a manager. And I had to learn through hard knocks. I oversaw a $60 million operation. I had 70 employees under me. I've literally had an employee punch out a supervisor. Literally. I had to get the film and report to the police officer department. It was just the craziest thing when I saw
it. Wow.
I also wasn't put in a position to where I was kind of suggested to make an employee's life a little difficult so he would resign.
Ah, and what do we call that word in our terms? In my day, it was, we're trying to manage someone out.
Manage somebody out.
We want to manage someone out. Wink, wink.
Yes.
And we use, and people will assume these tactics
exactly.
to manage a person out of a role, which unethical.
It's very unethical.
Yes.
And I will tell you, that's why I said, you know, I've been guilty of it because I wanted to move up the corporate ladder. But it got to a time and point for me, a lot of reason why I went into consulting and kind of got out of the corporate world is because I got tired of seeing all this nepotism, all this mm-hmm. unethical behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say every company is bad, not to say that, but the larger the company is, the harder it is to control.
And the more at risk.
And the more at risk.
The more they have to lose, too.
Exactly.
Because they have more employees.
Yes.
More at risk, so and more at stake for them.
Yes.
So, you know, as we wrap up, you know, I again, this is a topic that we could probably talk about for hours and hours. And I everything that you said is so important, some tips. And again, if you're listening to this, I would go back, rewind it. Get your team involved, invite
Please.
Your leader,
yes.
replay this, share it with your organization, include it as part of your ethics training. Say, hey, we got this great video with some key information and couple it with what you're already doing. So again, make sure that you're doing that with your organization. But before we leave, Thomas, if people want to get a hold of you, they want to know what you're doing, what you're up to, or get in contact with you, how can they do that?
Oh, absolutely. So I'm now the CEO of a new marketing firm called True Statement, Inc. If you'd like to get a hold of me, you can definitely reach me at tslaughter@truestatementinc.com. I even put my phone number out there if you want to call me, and that's risky. But I'm
going to
use it ethically. I'm going to do that because if you are somebody who has concerns, if you're a manager or if you're an employee who's just kind of fearful and want to talk to somebody, feel free to call me. I'll give it to you right now, 909-560-1001, Thomas Slaughter. Feel free to say, hey, Thomas, you know what? I got a situation. What do you think? You know, I'm going to probably tell you the best ways to go about it, But I can't legally tell you what you do, right? Disclaimer, whatever the case is. But I'll tell you from my personal experience, kind of what I've been through and how I address the situation. And I've been through a lot of different things. And like I said, I've been, you know, on both sides of the unethical leadership.
And just having someone that you can talk to maybe get a sounding board to say and maybe point them in the right direction. And so, again, we want to be a resource for you to help be a better leader. Maybe you're a leader watching this and something happened recently and it was unintentional and you were concerned that maybe you crossed that ethical line.
Yes.
This is going to be helpful for you. Or if you're a passionate worker and you're listening and maybe you've been, again, on the receiving end of something like this, or you've witnessed it and you didn't know what to do. So, you know, we're giving you a small snippet of information, great information, but make sure that you do have resources and people and things that you can go to really educate yourself and share this information, because the more we share, the more we can change. So again, I want to thank you, Thomas, for being here on our show.
Yes.
It's been great. As always, I want to make sure that you're listening to us, that you share this. Give us a comment, leave us a ranking, all of that, because we want to make sure that we get the information out to you easily and that we're talking about the stuff that you want to know about.
Yes.
So I always leave with this quote: everyone wants to succeed, but not everyone is willing to do the work. If you are willing, I will help you do your work. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Like a Real Boss podcast with Tiana Sanchez. We are your ambassador, helping you go from good to great to extraordinary. To learn more about awesome offers, training programs, books, and more, head over to www.nolimittoyoursuccess.com. Until next time.